Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K, version 2018, and I'm joined by my regular co-host.
Mr. Ben Errington. I think I'm still version 2017 currently. I haven't had an upgrade.
Are you buffering?
Yet.
I'm upgrading now. Yeah, I can see your loading bar.
Oh, I don't know.
Long loading bar.
Oh, it's very long. It's never going to end.
Cool, it's like a curly wordy. Okay, so this is the show where we talk about the 50 best horror movies ever. Basically, Empire Magazine put a list together. It's a pretty good list, and we're going through them. We're cracking on. We're on number 16 of the list, but before all that, let's have a little chat about other horror guff. So, did you see anything? Do anything?
I saw some bad things. No,
horrible.
Do you know what? I haven't really been on the horror hype since the Christmas episode where we consumed so much festive horror. I kind of felt like I needed a break. I needed to chill out. I needed to watch Jurassic Park and Home Alone and
we watched Home Alone as well.
And all the classics. Yeah, Jumanji. I watched all the family classics. Watched Star Wars again and just chilled. Chilled the hell out. Didn't have any fearful frights.
Can't do it. You need like an end of year break. What about Black Mirror? Did you not get a little terrified?
I've only seen 3 episodes so far.
Okay.
Of the new season. How about you?
I've seen 4 episodes. I think the first episode of the new season has been the best one so far.
Yeah.
It's really good. And really refreshing.
Yeah, it's great. It took an idea that was in the Christmas special that I thought was really quite sinister and just elaborated on it.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. Second episode was pretty good. I didn't mind the third episode. I thought the tech was good. I'm not going to spoil anything. The tech was good in the third episode, but I think in terms of plot, it was a bit far-fetched.
It's weird. I feel like some of the tech stuff in this episode, or maybe the plot, I don't know if it just feels like we're getting a little bit too... The Black Mirror has always like been amazing to the point where it's like every episode is a little bit mind-blowing. I feel like we're getting a little bit normalized to it, a little bit too comfortable.
I know what you mean. It just kind of felt like the tech was interesting, but I mean, it was probably the most flawed of any of the tech in any of the series where you're a bit like, really? What if this just happens?
Yeah.
And what if that just happens? And then I think the way they went with it was a bit like, it was believable to a degree, and then it just went, well, that would never happen.
Yeah.
This would never happen. People don't act like this. This isn't what happens.
Yeah. I quite like the little sting on the ending, though.
That was kind of all right. But when you think about it, when you try and think of the logistics of
it doesn't make actual sense in the way that... Which is annoying as well, because Black Mirror always kind of made good sense. The logic in the world. I don't know. I'm still enjoying it anyway.
There was always like kind of a lesson to be learned as well, I think, with each episode of Black Mirror. And I feel like there are definite lessons in the first two episodes, but the third...
Well, the first one doesn't make... That makes sense comparatively to the last few seasons of Black Mirror, because the USS Callister one, the technology of like cloning people, like making like digital clones of people from a DNA sample, doesn't really hold up at all.
No. But he's got, but there's a magic box that we're just expected to.
Yeah.
Spoilers, sorry.
Just quickly then. So what else? I watched The Devil's Candy. I just watched that before the end of the year. Have you seen that?
I don't know if I have seen that. No.
It's like a serial killer story with a little bit of a supernatural twist, and it's got a lot of heavy metal in it. Like the family in it are like a metalhead family, and but they're really sweet, and the relationships are really good. It was surprisingly good. And then
fairly recent release?
Last year, yeah. So it came out last year, yeah. So I played a game. Someone said, I need to play this game. And they said it was a horror game, and it's called Doki Doki Literature Club. Have you heard of it?
Is this a game where, like, people... No, I don't think so. No.
Okay. So it's called Doki Doki Literature Club, and it's like, you go on the website, it's all very anime, cutesy, girls of, like, type, you know, school tops and stuff. Very much like what you'd expect. Kat said, I asked Kat if she'd heard of it. She went, oh, like a hentai sort of game, which is a kind of like a pervy game. So kind of like lonely people on the internet sort of go and play these games. And then I was like, I don't think this is a horror game. I think someone's kind of like joking that it's a horror game. And I downloaded it and started to play it. And it's like the idea is that you're playing a character who's gone to the literature society, and it's full of all these girls, and you sort of flirt with different ones, and then you kind of turn the narrative to sort of who you will end up with, sort of thing. And I was like playing for an hour and a half, and I was like, this. Like, it's got to get like scary soon or something. It really didn't. And then suddenly, I don't know if this is a twist, but maybe it is. Maybe I shouldn't go into too much detail. Are you going to invest an hour and a half on this game?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't even know what it is. If I could see something of it, I might do. But
if you listen to this and you want to like be surprised, then stop listening. Like, skip forward a bit. But so you play for an hour and a half, and then like it gets to the point where it's like, I'm actually kind of invested in the story now, invested in the characters. One of them commits suicide, and it's like, oh, that was a bit of an unexpected twist. And so then you go back to the last save point, because that's the end of the game. And you go, oh, I must have made a wrong decision or something, so I'll go back. You can't go back on the load because it's corrupted. So you have to start again. But when you start again...
What's it called? Doki?
Doki Doki Literature Club. But when you start again, the character who killed herself isn't there anymore. She just doesn't exist. And then really weird things start to happen. Like, it gets more and more surreal, and like it turns into like a meta horror like story. And like things start to glitch out and stuff. And you find out the game is sort of one of the characters. I don't want to spoil it. But one of the characters is sort of alive, basically, and they want it to be just you and her. So they're like, and it's really really dodgy. It was interesting. I'll tell you that. It's very interesting.
How did you play this? Was this online?
It's free to play. So it's just, you download it, it's free to play. But obviously there's been some money spent on it. It's
But how if you stumbled across that, because I'm just looking at some imagery now, how would you ever think that there was anything horror related to it? Like, if you're a child, you might...
I think it's kind of... it must have just been a word of mouth thing. Because I've seen articles now on like IO9 and Dig and... Kotaku, yeah. Which are like this.
Do you reckon it's supposed to be like a horror thing, or do you reckon it is just a lovely game and then they've just gone a bit off the grid at the end?
No, it's full on horror by the end of it.
The tagline is, will you write the way into her heart?
Yeah, so you have to write these poems, and then depending on what you write in the poem, points you towards one of the girls, like whichever one like likes the poem. Falls in love with you.
I bet you're loving this. This is your dream.
Well,
this is your dream come true.
So this
is
weird. So I was like, really, like when does the horror start? And then, like, about half an hour in, he goes, "Wow, what should I put in my poem?" Starts to get like really into the game.
Cat, what? I got to do another poem. Oh, God's sake!
But that's like the kind of mean spirited side of this, which is kind of funny in a way, because the people who play these games are obviously like, I want to get in that girl's pants. I'm going to write. You know what I mean?
And, I'm going to write such a good poem that she's going to drop her pants all.
But then, like, the twist in the game is like, no, she kills herself and everyone starts killing themselves. So, yes, it's a fun, interesting evening.
A little bit intense.
Yeah.
But, you know, I might give it a little look. I might just have a look on YouTube and have a look at some of the bits and bobs.
Yeah, that's probably... If you can find, like, an article, like a YouTube playthrough that skips a lot of the...
Yeah,
it's probably the best way to do it. Yeah. But that was, I definitely recommend it if you're up for a bit of an interesting evening. But yeah.
Always.
Let's crack on with the film, I guess. Today's film is 1976's Carrie. Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
It belongs to 1976. So Carrie is a 1976 American supernatural horror film based on Stephen King's 1974 novel of the same name. The film was directed by Brian De Palma and with a screenplay by Lawrence D. Cohen. So, interesting. So Carrie White, a shy, friendless teenage girl who is sheltered by a domineering religious mother, unleashes her telekinetic powers after being humiliated by her classmates at her senior prom.
Yeah, sounds lovely. So this is what Empire Magazine had to say about it. Carrie was among the first films to utilize that most terrifying supernatural force, puberty. Stephen King's novel recognized the trials of adolescence as ripe ground for horror and found a worthy suitor for his cinematic adaptation in director Brian De Palma, who brings the tale to life with sadistic relish and intelligent, daring camera work. Sissy Spacek, meanwhile, imbues Carrie with childlike innocence and genuine pathos, blotted only by mild bouts of telekinetic murder. It's a testament to her range that, come that prom finale, you find yourself feeling simultaneously sympathetic and scared shitless. It's got that's one of the better write-ups by Empire. I think that was quite good.
I learned it.
93% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.5 on IMDb. And we asked the Facebook group, and Andy popped in to say, Carrie might have the best intense murder stare in the industry. Yes, I forgot.
In the industry of intense murder stares.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Are you, what's your initial thoughts on this one? Have you seen this before? Have you seen the remake?
I've seen this before, but like years ago.
Have you got telekinetic powers? Hmm.
I haven't seen the remake. I haven't got telekinetic powers, although I think everyone at some point kind of thought they might do. It was a combination of watching too many
Star
X-Men
Wars,
cartoons.
I think for me. What,
Star Wars, X-Men cartoons, and Matilda, where I was like, I can move that bloody thing along, or maybe I did it.
Yeah. Like that, maybe... Limmy, that Limmy sketch, when he's got the clock, he's trying to like tick the time over. Yeah.
I think we all do funny little things like that, don't we? All kind of like in our heads, we kind of go, well, maybe I have got superpowers. I've seen the original. I haven't seen the remake because I think the remake looked kind of naff, and I think it did get slated in reviews, did it not? It was Chloe Moretz, is that right?
Yeah. It was okay. It was pretty much note for note the same. Wasn't quite as charming as this one. It's a bit more horror, like this one's got a bit more interesting tone, like it's kind of a nice film in some places, but that one was like full on horror all the way through, I believe. I just kind of found that a little bit boring because I was like, just watch the original, like the original is so much better.
Yeah, I mean the original is pretty great. I mean it's got loads of interesting sort of like interesting filming techniques, like interesting cinematography, like split screen stuff, which I don't think you see very much.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's not really it's another one of these films which is like, it's not really a horror film. It's just got elements towards the end which are essentially horror. I mean, there's only some.
Yeah.
It's just like a family drama and like a high school drama where loads of standard things happen where someone's getting bullied and domineering mother. So it does feel like kind of like cookie cutter in that sort of a sense. But then obviously it's got the Stephen King flavor with the old telekinesis, which I've never really found telekinesis in any way, shape, or form scary. Obviously, if someone had telekinesis and they're crushing your head like a plum, it would be horrible. But I don't know, like in terms of like a horror theme, like somebody having these powers. And
there's a few that have it, isn't it? Like Scanners has it, that sort of hurt you with my mind sort of thing. I think maybe it's like during the 70s when they're like, you know, Project MK Ultra. The CIA were like making superhumans. Yeah. It might have been a bit more scary to Americans. I don't know. So it's interesting that you say like the tone, because I was like, why has it got this sort of like 70s documentary feel to it? I think it's because the novel, although I've not read it, is an epistolary novel, which is like a series of articles from newspapers and magazines and stuff cut out. So I think it's designed to sort of replicate that. But as I was watching that, I'm kind of reminded of like documentaries of Woodstock and that sort of, it's the same sort of music. It's the same sort of, it cuts from various different scenes quite haphazardly. But then I was like, by the end of it, I was like, oh, this is why it's scary, though, because that twist, that like scary, the big thing at the end is like full on.
I mean, it's such a build towards it, and you kind of know what's coming. So that is really good, because the build kind of takes like a whole half of the film to get there. I mean, you've got like the first half setting up Carrie and her relationship with her mum and how she's treated at school and obviously all of her problems and puberty and all that stuff. But then the second half of the film is just a slow build towards the moment where Carrie snaps.
Yeah. Would you class that as a slow burn film? Because I was confused as what to a slow burn film actually is until, because someone recently said, oh, it's like a film that sizzles away like a fuse on a dynamite and then pops at the end, so it gets really big at the end. But I was like, I thought a slow burn film was just all the way through. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, I think you can kind of use that analogy for both of those types of films. I'd say a slow burn was something that definitely pops at the end and something that is kind of on in one gear throughout. I'd consider that both. Because I think usually when I say something as slow burn, I would usually mean a slow burn to a crescendo at the end. That's what I'd usually think.
Okay.
But at the same time, if there wasn't that crescendo at the end, I would probably still call something a slow burn.
Something
but
it was like just, it, No Country for Old Men, that's a... For me, I was like, "Oh, that's a slow burn," because it's just slow.
Yeah, but that's really a slow burn. But that's got plenty of moments which are like super tense and super.
Yeah.
Like loads of moments. So this was sort of like the build to this, because the scene at the prom, which is essentially not the final scene, but obviously the main set piece and the that scene is long. You know what I mean? A lot happens in it. It takes a lot, and when things do kick off, again, a lot of time is spent with the characters and things kicking off. It's not just like bang, here's something terrible happening. It's kind of
it's really effective. Like so I was watching this, it was over Christmas actually, I think. I'd had a couple of beers and I was watching it, and I was like getting kind of like really into like the underdog Carrie White story, you know, like the sort of what's that, there's a film where they get like an ugly girl and they dress her up and take her to the prom, and it's got Freddie Prinze Jr. in it. It's one of those sort of I was like getting right into that story. I was like, oh, Carrie, she's doing quite well.
It just makes you proper hate the characters involved in it, like the background. John Travolta, I had absolutely no idea he was in this. I don't know why I completely forgot he was in this.
Yeah.
And he's got a real shit eating grin. And
it's weird, he's not really in it for that much other than like two pretty important.
He's not in it that much at all, but he is he is definitely an important character. Interesting to see that like he was in this. I'm assuming he was in this before Saturday Night Fever and Grease and everything. That was like a little while after, wasn't it? A couple of years later.
You're asking the wrong person, but I would say Am I?
Well, I thought you were the man to ask when it came to old John Travolta. He's in a bit of trouble with the law lately, isn't he, as well?
Oh, is he?
Johnny?
Why?
Done some bad stuff, I think. Let's not get into it.
Okay.
All right, Luke? That's this touchy subject. Yeah, so he was in Carrie in 76, Saturday Night Fever in 77, and Grease in 78. So this was
he had a good few years then.
When his career was going to take off. So like he was just a face in the crowd.
Yeah. Do you think if he ended that little run with the blood with Carrie, like it would have sat, people would have been like, I don't know about that guy.
because
they like ended on the other film, they were like, he's pretty good. Didn't know him about him at the start when he's pouring blood and stuff, but come around to him. Did you notice the girl from RoboCop?
Yep.
I didn't recognize her as her until this time.
She's the head bully.
Yeah.
Is that right? The head bully.
Nancy Allen plays Chris Hargensen. I didn't recognize her until this time. I was like, hang on, because I think she's chewing bubblegum. And I was like, that's like, because there's a scene in RoboCop where she's popping bubblegum. I was like, that's
it. I recognize that bubblegum chewing popping scenario.
Go on.
I don't think I was going to say anything else. That's it. I'm done with the review. That's the podcast.
Okay, so the cast, Sissy Spacek plays Carrie quite amazingly. I think maybe she might be one of the key components as to why this film works as well as it does. Because she looks like the girl that you knew who got bullied in school, like who's a little bit like socially inept. Not you specifically, but I have a few avatars in my head like of that.
Whereas like Chloe Moretz,
Chloe Moretz
at the time that came out, She's like cool and quirky and
bit of an indie kid, sort of.
Bit like, of an indie kid,
yeah.
Attractive. It's a bit like her filling that role just doesn't kind of feel right because as the underdog, Sissy Spacek looks the part and plays the part really well. That she's, yeah.
Yeah. And he's right when he says, there's times where Sissy kind of looks, you know, kind of nice, kind of pretty, and kind of beautiful. But then when she goes, when she flips, she's like scary, genuinely scary to look at. Like she has this kind of weird eye thing. She looks like she's having a bit of a
episode. She's got quite like a distinctive face. She's got like quite small features, but like a large, but small features, but still like quite a large, like prominent face. That sounds mean. I don't mean that. But you know what I mean. She's like, she's got a very unique look, and I think that when she does turn it on, turns on the old charm, turns on the old evil stare. Well, you call it evil, but you know she's pretty much.
Yeah,
it's understandable why she would be
very angry. Like, Piper Laurie plays her mum, Margaret White. Amy Irving plays Sue Snell, who's like the. I think she starts off as one of the buddy characters, but then sees the error of her ways and decides to help.
I think there's a few characters here who are like some of the bully characters kind of transcend and are kind of like on Carrie's side rooting for her a bit, but other ones kind of just stay as motherfuckers, you know what I mean?
Yeah. William Catt, he plays Tommy Ross. He's the jock sort of guy, but he isn't like a knobber.
He's the jock with a heart of gold.
That's exactly it, yeah.
And hair like Kevin Keegan.
He's
got wonderful hair.
And I've got
Kevin Keegan and this guy.
John Travolta playing Billy Nolan, who's kind of... Oh. kind of feel like he's the regular Stephen King.
More like Billy No Mates. Am I right?
He's got he's got the two mates.
He has got two mates. He's got... yeah. Sorry, Billy. He's got two mates who are like, come and have a beer with us, man.
Yeah. It's like,
there's some weird stuff with John Travolta's character that we will get into, but
yeah. So the story starts with them, like the girls on the football field doing some sort of sports.
Volleyball.
Is it volleyball?
Yeah, because I think the ball comes sort of over to her and she just misses it, and they go,
God damn it, Carrie White, eat shit.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the name from Robocop says, you eat shit. And I was like, oh, jeez, this is harsher than I remember. So obviously all these people, Carrie's a bit of a ditz. Obviously, like, people are kind of annoyed at her. But then they all go to the changing rooms. It's all in slow motion with some weird 70s funky.
How are they supposed music. To be? Because, I mean, there's like gratuitous, like, boonage. High school student
too many nipples. Too many nipples for a high school film, yeah.
Too many nipples and bush. Like the world is like I've never seen before in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it was intense. I mean, I'm not sure what to make of these opening credits because there was a lot of slow-mo showering, nudity, running about, boobage, bush, and like soaping of bodies. And I was a bit like, you know, when you're watching
The intro bit in slow motion has loads of Carrie just
showering, sudding, rubbing her legs.
Like sudding, is that the right word?
But maybe what it's trying to do is it's lathering. Trying to like... There's lots of lathering. You know when you're watching a film sometimes and you think, I'm watching a completely innocent film, but then a part starts in this film where you're like, oh no, if someone walks in right now, they're just going to be like,
I know
what's going on? Or like you're watching a film and you've got it on quite loud and suddenly there's quite sexual noises.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a sexual scene. But then like, you feel a little bit like, turn the volume down a bit.
Kat pointed out that nearly every TV show now has about 20 sex scenes. Like, there's so much sex on TV.
Not enough, mate. Not enough.
Anymore, and it'd be Pornhub. Like, there's just far too much now. Okay, so Carrie lathers herself up, and then she starts to like bleed, and from her, she gets first period. She's looking around, kind of panicked, goes all crazy.
Help me, I'm bleeding. Yeah. Obviously, her mum's not told her about the old period, so she's panicking, thinking she's going to die.
Yeah. So she goes to... I think she even puts her hands on one of the girls.
Yeah, she does.
Colors. Yeah.
She just rubs gets, like, her period blood-covered hands all over people. It's no wonder they tell her to eat shit.
Yeah,
she's a nuisance.
They start throwing tampons at her. Yep. And so he keeps saying, like, plug it up, start chanting, plug it up.
I get thinking, what a waste.
What a waste, yeah. We decided they're free, probably supplied by the school, I guess.
Yeah, but they do that. They throw sanitary towels at her as well, and I think, what a waste.
Yeah.
There are some communities, even in this day and age, where sanitary towels and tampons are hard to come by.
Yeah.
This is not a good example to set in 1970s. In 1970s puberty. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Lost a train of thought. Talking about periods is, it doesn't come naturally to me.
Yeah, I can tell. Me neither. I'll get Kat down later so she can explain it all. Okay, so they're throwing tampons at her and they're saying, plug it up, plug it up. She gets freaked out and then a light bulb suddenly like pops above the shower. Miss Collins, the teacher, comes in. Does she punch one of the students yet? I feel like she punches a lot of students.
Yeah, there's a lot of punching the students, but I don't think she does it yet. I think she pushes some people out of the way and then she slaps Carrie in the face to try and calm her down.
Yeah, yeah.
And she like consoles her and basically tells her what menstruation is. Come on, don't you know what menstruation is? I mean, come on.
There's Google. They didn't have Google back then.
Google.
Yeah.
They didn't, exactly. You had to find out through word of mouth.
Can you remember when you were like, who is that guy in that film? And then you just had to accept that you would never know.
You did. And you asked everybody you knew, who was that guy and that thing and that other thing? You know, what else has he been in? I'd like to see more of what he's in.
Yeah.
Tough. So you can't.
You will have to let it happen or not. Like, you have to let it fly free and it will come back.
Yeah.
Or it won't.
Boomerang. Yeah. Boomerang.
Now we've got like all this information right there at our fingertips.
I've got no idea what to do with it, mate. Too much, if anything.
Too much. Yeah. So what happens next? So she goes home, Carrie. Miss Collins, I think. Did she ever go at him yet, or is this a bit later on?
I think Miss Collins and Carrie are in like the school principal's office for a bit, and then the school principal keeps calling her Cassie.
What a dick move.
Carrie becomes more and more like agitated, and then eventually she just goes, I'll flip this bloody ashtray off the table with my mind.
And then she does that, and no one says anything because they're like, 70s, weird stuff. They just go,
that was a weird thing to happen. Oh, yeah. Well.
If they could Google it, they'd be like, someone is telekinetic in this circle here. But no, they didn't, so they just sort of let it off. She goes home as well, and there's a kid who, on a bike, who shouts something at her. And she does some telekinetic kung fu
him
as well.
He says, you slag! And she just goes, fucking have it! And flips his bike. And he looks at her like, what have you done to me? What have you done?
Is that really, I don't remember the
mate, I've made most of that up.
But I'd like to see like an English, Northern English remake of this.
What have you bloody done? Cassie, you dirty, rotten bastard.
Be like Kez, but it'd be called like Cassie.
Kez. Maybe she had a little Kez on her.
Yeah. So she goes to see her mum. And mum's like overly religious. I don't know if you could say that, like really overly religious, but
fanatically
like,
religious. Fanatically, she's just no help. She's just like, oh, bloody. It's like you could say anything to her, and she'd be like, that's a sin. That's happened because of sinful thoughts.
The devil.
The devil's inside you.
Yeah.
Get it out.
Periods. Oh, the devil. She's like the girl devil. From the mum from Waterboy.
Yeah. So I'm like, what? So you never had a period, did you, mum? That's what you're saying. You're saying you never had a period because you're so holy. Jesus.
No, she never did.
Cassie could literally say anything. Cassie could go, oh, I've got a bit of a tummy ache. It's the devil inside you trying to get it out.
How would she reconcile that she's had a period? Maybe she never did.
That's the thing that happens. Maybe she was so stressed that she didn't have a period. Oh, I read recently that... this is going to be a tangent. That soldiers in the North Korean army, obviously female soldiers, were stopped menstruating due to the rigorous training they go through, like in the army.
Interesting.
Their menstruation has just gone, fuck this, mate.
Yeah.
How about fuck that for a laugh?
There's been times where I've been running, doing like a lot of running, and I've peed a bit of blood, which is isn't as alarming as it sounds.
God, I wonder just... what you're going to say then. I really wonder what you're going to say.
Did you ever see that episode of South Park where they all wanted to have a period because they thought that's what everyone did when,
when they
hit puberty? And then Kenny actually has a period.
Yeah. And they get like pubes at one point and stick them, like, stick them all over their faces.
Classic. And they turn out.
I was probably going through puberty when I first started getting South Park. It was very confusing.
Yeah.
Huh?
You find out some, like, some sort of anus bleeding disease or something that they're all having.
Oh, no.
And they all die. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well.
So she puts Carrie, her mum's like, this is the devil, so you've got to get in the cupboard. And I was like, wow, this is a lot like Matilda, because they've got like the choker room.
Chokey.
Is that what it's called? It's like the chokey thing they put
or choker. Not sure.
Telekinetic powers. Girl.
Yeah. Girl.
Young girl.
Period. No. Yeah. So they put her in the prayer closet. Yeah. She's got to pray for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And there's a weird little like statue type thing of a, like, is it Jesus?
It's Jesus, but the eyes are painted a little bit too big and a little too flat. So it's like
they look like they're glowing, the eyes.
Oh, maybe they are, but they looked a little bit too, like, see too much white, and he said like a little blue pupils.
So. I like how you're critiquing the statue. Well, what you've done wrong there is you painted the eyes wrong. I mean, the hair is just totally not realistic. The hairline's all over the place.
You sound like that Lloyd Grossman. You know?
Oh, yeah. I like him. He does some good sources.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Okay. So whilst she's at home or something, Carrie's teacher has a go at all of the girls who... threw the tampons at her, and she was like, that was a really shitty thing you did.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You should feel bad about it. And then does she make them do the crazy, there's like a crazy exercise montage.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff in the montage. Like the soundtrack goes real left field occasionally. There's a real funky, weird, jaunty soundtrack.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's a bit like,
yeah.
It's almost like too ridiculous what they're doing all this.
And they were like doing obviously, the press ups and stuff in time with the,
yeah,
with the beat.
I was impressed by that. Doing a press up and then we're going to do the squat thrust and then we're doing jumping jacks. It was like that. But obviously, then eventually, they all had, one of them had enough. The, what's her name?
Chris.
Chris?
I want to say, what's her name?
Yeah.
Back up.
Chris. So she's like the one from RoboCop. So she's like the leader of the gang, the one who's obviously the most mean to Carrie. And she basically gets told if she doesn't do this exercise, this detention, she's going to get banned from the prom.
Yeah.
You will not come to the prom. And she tries to get all her friends along with her, but they kind of just go, you're on your own, sister.
Yeah.
And she stomps off. So obviously that's it.
So then we have like the split here. So we've got Sue and Timothy, whatever his name was, Tommy.
Tommy!
They're like the, I don't know if they're a couple, but they're kind of, they know each other, they're kind of pals or something.
I know this is, sorry, I'm interrupting your point here. I know this is a thing because obviously everyone who's in Greece is supposed to be from high school, but they're all like in their 30s. But this is the same with this. There are people in this film who are playing like high school kids who are clearly like 35 years old.
Well,
I'm not sure if that's true, but Tommy has got haunted eyes, like he's seen some shit. He's been around for a long time. He's a vampire.
Well, so as I was sort of looking around at the actors, I tend to do this when I'm putting my notes together. I go, I wonder what else they've been in recently. And I go, how can they be 61 or something? And then I realised that they were all like 25, 26 when all the kids in this. So it's not so bad that you see the odd boob.
Odd boob. If you were asked then, at 29 years old, if you're asked to play a high school bloke, could you do it?
Me? No.
Yeah. What would you do?
I think at the point at like 25, you know that Carl Pilkington thing when he says that Asian people age like a pear? Like they look good till they're like 50 and then they turn like really old the next day. Like I feel like for us white males, like there's like I think it's like 25 to 30. There's like a proper aging process there. Everyone starts to lose that sort of innocence. Maybe it's like that's because you drink a lot in that time.
By
I don't know.
Innocence, you mean hair?
Well, that's just one aspect.
Oh, my innocence is gone.
I feel like you get a few more wrinkles. You I don't know. People start to get bellies. I chipped my tooth a little bit more like the other day.
Yeah. That's not age, though. I mean, that can happen anytime, couldn't it?
Wear and tear.
Wear and tear. I see. You've just been eating too many
glass.
I can't even think of something. Glass.
Yeah. Too many pebbles. Yeah.
I told you, when you have a lovely drink, don't bite down.
I always see that thing where you go to drink with a beer bottle, and I don't know if it's because you're a little bit tipsy or something, you go straight for the tooth. Why is my mouth not open?
Well, that's how I chipped my tooth there, because basically I was drinking a beer bottle, having a lovely bottle of Grolsch, taking a lovely sip, and my friend was telling a really over-the-top story with his hands and stuff. He was going, and then this happened.
Like
and then, whoa, this happened. And he just like elbowed the bottle into my mouth, and I just went, you fucking idiot. And recently I told him that, and he was like, oh, did I? And I was thinking, it don't even register with him, but
it's
I've had to
a
live
big part
it.
Of you. Yeah. Yeah, that's
twat.
It's terrible. It's a terrible shame. So, I completely lost.
Yeah, yeah. So Sue basically says to her boyfriend, Tommy, handsome and popular and hair like Kevin Keegan, she basically says, ask Carrie to the prom instead of her to make up for the cruel actions, which I kind of was a bit like, that's a ruse, isn't it? But I think from watching the film, it seems like Sue and Tommy are actually quite genuine with it, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't think I think they genuinely care,
which is strange because I kind of thought that everyone was in on it. Do you know what I mean? I thought that like Chris and her boyfriend and Sue and Tommy were. It was all like a big. It was a long con.
Well,
but
I kind of saw it as like you had the two couples. You had John Travolta and her from RoboCop. They were like the bad version. They were going to take this detention and lesson and
chaotic
and
evil. Something.
Exactly. They were the bad part of it. And then Tommy and Sue, were like, we're going to do the opposite. We're going to help. And it was like
neutral good.
Exactly. Yeah. But then so they tried to get Carrie to go, and Carrie was like, I'm not going for that. Like I think she kind of smells trouble on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, you would, wouldn't you? I mean, she smells some trouble. I mean, she's not really had many friends. She's not had a good high school career. She's not had a very good time at high school. Yeah. So
if she's referring to it as a career, then that's probably one of the reasons why.
Yeah, there we go. That's it.
Stephen King said he based Carrie on two girls who were just like her, he knew from schools growing up, and they were like overly religious, used to get picked on. He said one of them once turned up after like a summer holiday, summer break, and she was like full of confidence. Suddenly she had like a new dress, new like makeup on and stuff. She was like really happy. And he said all the bullies just, it made them double down. They like went really to town on her. He said both of those girls are dead now. They like died through like the various like accidents. So I think one ended up with an abusive relationship and she got killed. And Stephen King, like, it's
Jesus, it's a horrible story.
Yeah, yeah.
Bringing us a nice story of a good ending then.
No.
They're both dead.
And then Jesus. They both died.
So then, yeah, so what happens here? So Chris basically swearing vengeance, which is like, Carrie hasn't done anything wrong. Jesus.
Yeah.
She hasn't done any, literally just been.
Interesting.
Someone's picked on her.
It's the teacher's fault, yeah, for pushing her. So, like, because you don't punch a student. This is what this is all about. This is why we don't have capital punishment anymore. Because students swear revenge
on people who didn't punch you.
Yeah.
Didn't punch them.
Yeah.
So she recruits old John Travolta, Billy, and goes, Billy, you absolute mongoloid. Can't say that. Says, come and help me out.
You troglodyte.
Troglodyte. You absolute specimen of a man. You weapon. You moron. Yeah. So she gets him along. Like, he's drink driving. Well, he's only having a sip. Drink driving. She starts, when she's talking about her prank on Carrie, when she starts thinking about it, she starts giving John Travolta, Billy, a little bit of fellatio.
Oh yeah,
I noticed this. Even though she was apparently performing the act of fellatio upon Billy, she was saying the name Carrie over and over again, seemingly without taking breath. So I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say she wasn't sucking him off at all.
I think that might have been a different cut to the one I saw. Because the one I saw ended with her.
it showed the blowjob. No. Up close in 3D.
But I remember them having like a long conversation. And then she went down on him to perform the operation. And then only after like, after they were kind of done, and like, she was like, right at the end, she was like, I hate Carrie White. And then it cut to the next thing. And
it was like, it was like she was doing it. She went, Carrie White, I hate Carrie White. And he was like, oh yeah, talk dirty to me.
He's got some weird fetish. Yeah.
So obviously Billy's got like he's a nut box anyway, because they go to get some pigs from a nearby farm.
Yeah.
And he just like sledgehammers it to death.
Yeah.
Like, Triple H just absolutely sledgehammers it to death.
Yeah. And then he gathers up the blood. I don't know if they sort of reveal this. He's got the bucket of blood yet, but we all know what's happening here.
What a weird and specific prank to pull.
Like, also, there's a lot of like variables that would make it not really work. Like, she might not be standing there. she might not go.
Be standing there.
She might not go
to the thing. Exactly.
Why would she assume she's going to go? Because Carrie's the kind of person who wouldn't go. And why would they assume? Oh, no, yeah, they rigged the votes. That bit makes sense.
They rigged the votes, but then, we're meant to think that Sue and Tommy aren't in on it, but then they must be on it, because that's kind of like the whole basis of the prank.
I don't think that does work, though, because at the end, Sue... Well, we'll get to it in a minute, but Sue is, like, desperately trying to stop.
It's still weird, though, because how does Chris actually know that she's going?
Well, that's the... Well, that's like a, you know, like a Last Jedi sort of...
That's what they used to say back in 1976. This is a lesson of the Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Fill in the blanks yourself.
You can argue the point, but I think it's just one of those things.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Yeah. So we've got a bit of a montage here of people getting ready for the prom. There's like girls going, oh, have you heard Thingy's taking what's her name to Carrie White to the prom? And there's a guy going, I don't like Texas, man. I just don't wear Texas. And then he gets like one of those comical T-shirts. It's like
which I didn't even realize existed back then.
No, maybe this is where they started. Yeah, I don't know. And then she goes to the prom. She looks like very done up, very pretty. And then Tommy seems to be into it.
Before she goes to the prom, is her mum like is pretty much going to her, "You will not go. Everyone will laugh at you. You're a fucking prick. You look like shit. You stink." And then she obviously Carrie uses her telekinesis for a very mild form of telekinesis where you just gently push someone onto the bed.
Yeah.
She could have done that with her hand, but she did it with her telekinesis. Yeah.
I wonder if her mum knows about her telekinesis.
The thing is, she makes a face like, "Jesus, what the hell happened?" And you think, if she thinks periods are caused by the devil and whatever else, does she not think that telekinesis is like something? She seems to be quite accepting of the telekinesis.
Yeah.
"Oh, you've got a bit of telekinesis, have you? Good on you."
Probably some sort of weird mutation. No, it doesn't bring religion into that at all.
It doesn't. I mean, I'll get Professor X on the phone.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get him round here. He would have been with Magneto at this point in the 70s.
I wonder what the scientific papers say on telekinesis right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say she's a witch.
Okay. So then we're starting to come to like the main sort of part of the film. Like you said, like the prom actually takes ages. There's a lot of it. They seem to be getting on, Carrie and Tommy. They dance, they kiss. They get voted to be the prom king and queen, but we realise that it's you know set up by Chris and Sue. But like, she seems happy and everyone's like getting behind her. Everyone's like kind of clapping along to her. And then we have this kind of weird scene where Sue has just come to see her. She's smiling along, clapping along. Miss Collins is all happy for her, for Carrie. And then you've got John Travolta and her from RoboCop under the stairs, looking out, getting ready. We've got like a single piece of string.
And they hold this like for ages. The bucket of blood is above Carrie's head, but they hold it for so long, like waiting for her to do a speech, waving and shit. And they hold it. "No, not yet, not yet." And then when they eventually do it, it's like she's been on stage for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And Sue comes to try and stop them, but then Miss Collins is like, "No, get away. You're evil. You're planning something." She kicks her out of the thing. Again, that takes like 5 minutes, like, and Carrie's still on the stage. And then they let the bucket go. The blood completely covers Carrie. The bucket then falls, slams on Tommy's head. I think kills Tommy. You find out later on that Tommy dies.
Is this true?
Yeah.
No.
Sue at the end says...
Tommy?
Exactly, yeah. So this... Because at this point, I was like really kind of... I knew what was going to happen. But I was kind of like really sort of enjoying the moment and getting a little bit emotional into the sort of... the idea of everyone sort of getting behind Carrie. And then... it's just horrific because all the nice people... die.
All the nice people are bundled in with the nasty people.
Yeah.
And they all get killed. Tommy, he's got such thick, luscious curls on his hair. Surely that would act as an appropriate cushion for that bucket land on his head.
Yeah. Yeah, you think so.
Unless a corner's just got him right on the crown.
Right on the corner. Corner on the crown, yeah. And then, like, I kind of imagined Harry Hill sort of just saying something humorous like this. send in a clip and you'll get £200. And then...
well, you've been framed. What I find really strange if you've been framed, right? Is there are lots of things that happen in You've Been Framed where you're like, that person is dead. That person is dead.
What, you mean
dead,
like the thing was so extreme that they must have died?
I saw something the other day where someone was on like one of those little merry-go-round things, like the really fast ones, you know, like the thing, and it was going really fast, and he flew off about 30 feet. Probably not as much as that, but I thought, he's
dead. Isn't
that
the one with the motorbike?
No, not that one. I've seen that one. He's dead. He's gone. What is with, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to talk about You've Been Framed now, right in the middle of this podcast. You've Been Framed, there are videos from like the fucking, from like the 80s and 90s that are still getting shown. Yeah. Do you just get paid £200 once, or do you get paid £200 for like every series, or?
No, it'd just be £200 one-off, probably for the lifetime, right? So the.
All right. I don't know, this annoys me as well. Things that are on You've Been Framed, which are subjectively funny, someone being a bit silly, someone putting a face, someone doing something, you think, well, that might be funny to you, but you've been paid £200 now and you're going to be thinking, oh, I'm hilarious, aren't I, because someone was doing a dance. That's not funny.
Wait, so do you mean that like you fell, like, you pooed your pants or whatever, like, and then you're on TV and you think £200 that'll pay that'll pay me council tax this month, so that's fine. And then like for the next like 30, 40 years, like people are like, oh, you're that guy who pooed his pants on. You've been framed.
that would be horrible. What I mean is, like, when there's like an accident on You've Been Framed, someone falling over or someone getting hit in the head with something, like that's funny because that's human beings find that naturally funny, people getting hurt, but not killed. People getting hurt is funny. But things which are like subjectively funny. So the person who's filmed it and sent it in thinks it's funny. Like their dad doing a funny little dance like that, you know, like on the music montage. And I think, but I don't want to see that. I don't find that funny because I don't know that. Like, and you've been paid £200 and some editor somewhere has gone, yeah, we'll pay that person £200. This video of someone's dad dancing.
Yeah, but
it's just fucking broken, man. The whole You've Been Framed.
Only
thing
to
is
you.
Broken.
That clip obviously works for 50% of the country. They love it.
Also, the canned laughter, like,
that's got to go now. Although it does kind of work.
I used to kind of think back in the day there was a studio audience there. I honestly did. When like Jeremy Beadle used to present it, I used to think there's a studio audience knocking about. I think there was a studio audience, wasn't there?
There would have been at some point. I don't think England ever did the canned laughter thing quite like those American sitcoms that did it.
Yeah, we've gone into this too long.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Basically, Tommy is £200 up.
No, Tommy's dead.
Oh no!
So at this point, Carrie's like a force of nature. She does this kind of we get a split screen thing. She does this thing like it, her eyes go too big for a human head, and like the music's like wah, and like she gets the hose. She starts attacking people with a hose, Beetlejuice style. Yeah. She closes the doors, gets like a bleacher to sort of slice her teacher in half. Poor old Mrs. Collins is gone. Fire starts up. That girl looks like Bar from Twin Peaks. What's that thing we watched?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Strange Thing. She gets burned dead.
I recognize that woman as well. So obviously she was hallucinating before seeing people that she, even that she was kind of all right with, but she hallucinated that they were just laughing at her.
Yeah.
She was covered in blood. Also, the blood kind of like, when it lands, it covers like half her head or something, and then it cuts away and it cuts back and she's literally covered from head to toe.
It's that kind of blood that just kind of keeps on growing as well, I don't know.
Just gets everywhere.
Yeah. But she was rolling around in it at one point. But and then she's like a force of nature, so good or bad, doesn't matter how you've been. She's like a bomb, just gone off, and she kills all these people, goes home. Oh, yeah, and then Chris and John Travolta, RoboCop 1 and John Travolta are driving, and then he's trying to run her over. Does an X-Men, she goes Jean Grey on them.
What is their problem, honestly? Trying to run her over? Jesus.
Yeah. At that point, I think they might be like trying to save the world from a crazy telekinetic girl. I don't know. Yeah. Like,
but surely your first...
Can't believe you put me in detention. Yeah.
Because your first thought, when Carrie's doing all that, you don't think it's her. You're thinking, oh no, a series of unfortunate events all happening one after another. Everybody is dying. You don't think, Cassie, oh no, I've called her Cassie.
Kez.
He's going to kill me.
Oh God.
Carrie, you don't think Carrie is doing it, obviously. It's not your first. When someone slips over, falls over in the street, you don't turn to your friend and go, was that you?
Did you?
You did, didn't you? You... Rick.
That's a good point. It's a very good point. So they obviously they're just like bullies to the, you know, nth degree. But Carrie, she turns her head, Jean grazes them, they flip up on the car, and she walks away and it blows up behind her. She's like an action hero at that point. Leaving.
Yeah.
Iron Brute. And she goes home. The house, her mum's house, is like really serene, like there's lots of like lovely, peaceful music. There's candles everywhere. And I noticed, I don't know if you noticed, there's candles on the bed, like just on the fabric of the bed, just balanced up. And that's asking for like a house fire.
And please give me a house fire, please. I put candles on the bed and everything.
Her mum says, let's pray. I had sex once and didn't really want to. I think your father kind of raped me and I kind of enjoyed it, and that was the sin. And you were born of that sin. So now I'm going to kill you because you are a sin child. She stabs Carrie in the back, and Carrie.
That was horrible.
Carrie does the the bit that reminded me a lot of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, where she throws the
knives and
cutlery at her mum, and she's kind of like crucified on the door there.
It's kind of like just a pin cushion.
And we find out, I think it's the same pin configuration that the Jesus statue is in the cupboard. The house burns down because someone left a candle on the bed.
Yeah.
And then cuts to a little bit afterwards.
Well, the house like crumbles into
the house completely
dust,
crumbles. Yeah, yeah.
It goes inwards like a souffle.
Implodes, yeah. Yeah, someone shouted at it and it's sort of like a cake, just goes in.
House!
And sometime after Carrie's death, Sue is the sole survivor of the prom massacre. Everyone's dead. All these people, I think that's one of like the tragic things about this film, because like, all these people, you get a sense there's a real community of people and they're excited about life and they're going to go on after this prom and graduate and, you know, have families and jobs and stuff, and then they all die. Everything's gone on apart from Sue.
Proper annoying, isn't it?
Sue goes to visit the house, which looks kind of it's really surreal looking, and then Carrie White's hand shoots up and that's how it ends. Like a little
and then she wakes from the nightmare.
Interestingly, she doesn't actually kind of wake from it. It's still sort of happy, like she keeps going back in and out of it. It's like a weird, like,
she double dips.
Yeah. And dude, have you ready for some trivia? You ready for some trivia?
I am. Hell fudging yes.
Number one, Friends Brian De Palma and George Lucas held a joint audition for Carrie's title role and Star Wars as Princess Leia.
That's weird, but it sounds believable. True.
Well, I said it's true. I'm not sure how they did that. So did he have like various people and they're like, you'll be good for Leia, you'll be good for Carrie.
But then quick, do Carrie. Down, do Leia. Now you do Leia. Do this.
And you go, bra. This.
Do the eyes. Let's have put your hair in bun. Yeah. Go.
Kiss your brother.
Kiss your brother. And he got mixed up and Carrie was kicked off.
Yeah. Okay, number two. Carrie White is named after Stephen King's favorite type of bag. True or false?
No, I reckon he's a much bigger fan of like a canvas bag.
Yeah, I'd say canvas. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bit liberal sort of guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I was thinking like a white plastic carry bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I got it, mate.
Yeah, when you got to explain your joke is when the joke immediately dies.
Yeah. Okay, number three. Amy Irving was initially cast as Carrie, but was demoted to the role of Sue Snell. Like the friend.
Imagine that. Like, demoted. Sorry, you're not good enough for Carrie. You're going to play someone called Sue Snell.
Well,
I'm going to say true. Why not?
Yeah, true. So they screen tested Sissy Spacek afterwards and were like, I'm afraid this is Carrie now.
I'm afraid, even though it's perfect that your name's Sissy Spacek and you could have been playing Sue Snell.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect, but unfortunately not. Sorry. Amy, you're Sue Snell.
Number four. So Sissy Spacek was put in a coffin and buried underground as per her request. So she was buried alive as per her request. True or false?
Wait. Say again? Start again?
Sissy Spacek was buried alive in like a coffin and as part of her request. She requested to be buried alive.
When?
No, I'm not telling you. I mean, that's just a thing. It's just
what, just for a laugh? Or
for a film, for this film.
Not buried alive forever, surely.
No.
Oh, false?
No, it's true. The hand coming out at the end was Sissy Spacek's hand.
Oh!
And she requested to be the person buried alive for it.
That's right. That, just in case someone went, I recognise those knuckles.
Maybe she just kind of really wanted to do it. Maybe she likes that kind of thing. I don't know. Okay, so number five, the last one. Stephen King has repeatedly stated that De Palma's cinematic adaptation of Carrie is a piece of shit compared to his book. True or false?
True.
No, it's false. He said it's false. Better than his book.
Ah, I'm getting so confused. Yeah, but I only said that because there's loads of his.
Yeah, I know what you mean. King, he's
not a fan. He doesn't like The Shining, does he?
No. Well, actually, he's a fan of most, even like the shit ones. Like, he's like.
He was loving A Dark Tower.
Yeah.
And you know, how much are you getting paid for this, Steve? How much are you getting paid to appear in these adverts and say, A Dark Tower is really good?
Yeah, well, he probably gets paid like massive royalties or something, doesn't he?
He probably gets paid and he gets laid.
Yeah, he is married. Okay, oh dear, sorry, Bruce.
Hello.
I've got hiccups.
What was that? As a tiny miniature Luke Condor trying to escape from your body.
Pardon me, it was not me. It was. How's that bit go?
Pardon me, it was not me. It was my food. It just popped out to say hello, and now it's gone back down below.
Okay, we need to rate the film. Was it rate good or was it rate bad?
Was it rate good or were it rate bad?
I think it's pretty good, isn't it? It's not like the most terrifying horror film ever. But in terms of like being a good film and like it's really tense and obviously it doesn't feel so original in today's sort of in today's with stuff it competes with today. Mm. But I think it's a really good film, great performance, Sissy Spacek. I'll give it a B. A B for
Bravo.
Bravo, Brazier, Bush. B for Bush. That's probably more.
B for boobs. I thought it was really good. Like I said, I got really emotional in it. And I was like, Carrie, no.
During the shower sequence, Luke got really emotional. Are you all right, Luke? Yes, I just need a moment alone.
I'm going to give it an A-. I really liked most everything about it.
Almost everything. As I'm saying, I think I'm only going for a B. I would give it higher if I genuinely find it more scary. If I find it more terrifying.
There's something kind of tragic about it more than scary, I thought.
Exactly. Yeah. It feels like tragic. It's not like. It doesn't feel like a horror film.
It's again, like it just, bullies caused a car crash. Like a bus crash that set on fire and all the kids died. It feels more like poor kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a weird analogy, but a good one.
Yeah, they got trapped in a burning school bus building. Okay, so next week we're on to the top 15. So we're getting on there now. We're doing quite well. Top 15 next week is Polanski's Rosemary's Baby.
Whose baby is it, mate? Polanski's or Rosemary's? Which one?
I think the film could be classed as Polanski's Baby. How do you feel about watching films by people who, you know,
done bad things? I don't know. Like, I know what you mean. Like, Jeepers Creepers 3 came out fairly recently, didn't it? And
yeah, he's a convicted.
He's a convicted
child rapist or something, isn't he? Yeah.
And my mum watched.
That, I don't know if that's completely Jeepers right. It's something about that.
Yeah, my mum. Yeah. My mum watched that film and said it was awful. And I said, well, here's something to make you think it's even more awful.
Yeah.
The director is a convicted... See, it's the thing, like, how would someone like that still get work? It's weird, isn't it?
Maybe there's like an independent...
So he was convicted in 1988 of sexual misconduct with one of an underage star of something, 12-year-old boy. This is getting horrible. And also possession of, like, child pornography. So...
Okay. I don't know the complete story with Roman Polanski. I do know that he had a terrible time at one point.
We'll read up on the history
before we start
before we start saying what an absolute genius legend. He's my idol. Everything he's ever touched like to, turns to gold.
When I grow up, I want to be the next Roman Polanski.
We're laughing, but it's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. Okay. This show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. Remember to hit subscribe and give it a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. And thanks to the guys over in the Facebook group. That's Horror Hangout Board Advisors. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Oh, well, me. Thank you. Yeah. Cheers, mate. I'll see you next time.
Go and see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.